Millions of young people will take to the streets across the globe today, demanding more action on climate change ahead of a United Nations summit in New York. Even before the summit has kicked off, fresh alarm bells are ringing with a new report warning the humanitarian and financial cost of climate change will balloon unless urgent action is taken. The International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies has just launched its report at the UN. The Federation's President Francesco Rocca joins me now from New York. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Mr. Rocca, your report is called The Cost of Doing Nothing. Why did you choose that title?
Because we are experiencing a big inaction. So maybe it's time that people understand how much it's costing in financial terms, but more than this, in human terms, this cost of inaction. And it was quite surprising, the result and the outcomes of this study, because it was conducted by scientists that went through the analysis of our humanitarian action after a disaster strike, how much it costs in terms of lives and in terms of money.
Now, at the moment, there's an estimated 108 million people in need of humanitarian assistance, and that's due to climate-related disasters like heat waves, drought and floods. But your report says that number could climb to 200 million by 2050. Why do you say that that number would double in 30 years?
Because the intensity and the violence of which the climate-related disasters are striking, these are increasing those affected year by year. And this is what is the scientists have identified as a target number. But the good news is, if I may, is that the exactly the opposite is that the government will start to do something. Maybe the number could drop to 10 million by 2050. And this is something that made me optimistic, and we want our voice to be heard loud and clear to those who have the opportunity to do something, and especially, we hope, Monday in the next climate summit.
Because the discussion as to whether groups like yours present the worst possible outcomes, or whether you actually show that where that could be ameliorated and made better, is quite a lively one. Did you think, how much emphasis do you put in your report on how this could be improved?
But first, I think, of course, I don't want to repeat what the scientists and our IPCC said in several occasions about cutting emission, net zero. But this is one point. For us, is to better use the tools that we have to anticipate disaster, to improve the early warning. This can save life. Look at the consequences of what has happened in the Bahamas a few days ago, or just a drop back a few months ago in when the Cyclone Idai hit the South Africa. This is something that can be the impact can be reduced and minimized with a better action informing and creating what is called resilience in the communities.
Yes, tell us more about that. What are your suggestions as to how it could be improved?
Of course, this is it's about political will. There is nothing, of course. For on one end, there is the work of organizations like our, is working at community level, creating more awareness, engaging with the community leaders. But then there is a huge responsibility on the government, and the central government, in make the early warning system something normal for their own country, especially when we're talking about those who are prone to natural disaster. And I want to give you another example, if I may. Look at the drought in the Horn of Africa, the drought that now is affecting Zimbabwe and other countries. This is something that can be avoided or minimized if there is a proper action coming from the countries and the international communities, of course, supporting these countries.
Yes, I noticed that you say one of your suggestions is to anticipate disaster. Actually, I'll move on to about the early warning system, is to rebuild and repair with the next emergency in mind. That was what really took my eye. Now, how might that change the way we behave?
It's really something that I would say it's a totally new way to approach the post disaster recovery, and should be a must for everyone, because everyone is focused on feeding the people, on find a place where they can sleep in a safer place, in a safer mood. But this is not enough. We must be focused, especially in places where the disaster can happen quite often, to have an eye on better build the shelters and create a different environment. This is something extremely important. But so far, this is not working, because everyone is so satisfied in feeding the people in the very first hour, showing that they are doing something, but without caring for the future. So we must change the approach, and we must do something more, because we have all the tools to avoid that this kind of disasters will happen again.
Are you seeing good behaviour from any of the governments? Because your report really says that urgently calls on governments to invest in climate change adaptation. Who's doing it?
Look, I think that in these moments, those who are trying to do something, you can find more in the places which are more affected. Look, for example, in the Asia Pacific country, they are doing something, they are trying to mitigate, but of course for them is not enough. They do need that government that are showing goodwill and listening to the experts and the scientists. They do need also a big support, because they are under a big threat. The sea level is rising, but they are a good model of which we have to react. The community is well informed, and the government and their governments are doing a lot in trying to support. And this is a model that we should export, because don't think that our Western model will not be threatened. This is only the beginning, and the climate change, step by step, will reach in a way or another also the Western model of life. And so it's really urgent that also the other government will start to think how to mitigate, because even if the emission will cut to zero, the consequences will last for a very long time. So it's not about only cutting the emission, but also to be prepared, because this phenomenon will continue for a very long time.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
That's Francesco Rocca, president of the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies.